Well, good morning. It is nice to see you today. I see some familiar faces that I don't know your names. So as Karen said, please just keep, it's like you're on repeat, right? Just keep saying your name over and over and over again. And maybe, and I'm not going to give you a time frame, but sometime in the future, we might be there. We might have your names. One thing that I'd like to tell you this morning about me is that I am a very visual person. I learn best with visuals, and so oftentimes I will teach using visuals or different objects, and today is one of those days. And I don't know if you've guessed it already by the songs that we were singing, but we have a bit of a theme going today. If the songs didn't give it away, you can look over here and see what's happening over here. But looking at that table of supplies, listening to the songs that we were singing, you might be guessing that today we're going to be talking about building. We're going to build today, building on a firm foundation. And I'm going to get to these objects in just a moment, but first I would like to get to know you a little better. And I want to ask, do we have any builders in the room? Oh, I see some builders, okay? Professional builders, like you guys do this for a living? Anybody? What about unprofessional builders? Okay, there's a lot more of those, right? I'm thinking people who can just, like, Lego is where it's at. You can do whatever you want with Lego. Maybe you are the Jenga master. Have you ever seen those giant Jengas? Anybody? Our youth group has had one where you just build these massive towers, and there are some pretty good unprofessional builders out there. Well, I am none of those things. I learned this week just how terrible I am at building. I decided to take a little bit of pressure off of my husband. He's been doing a lot of home renovations and since we've moved and building of furniture left, right, and center. And I thought, you know what? How hard could it be? I'm going to take a stab at this. And so I went into my son's room and thought, I can build his bed, his new bed frame. And so I started out with a really, really good attitude. I was like, I can do this. There is an instruction manual. It is step by step. And about 2 hours later, and dripping sweat, and like my anxiety level up to here, that bed was finally built. Kind of. Because I had put some of the pieces on backwards. So then it was taking it apart and rebuilding it. And I just came to this realization that I really appreciate people who can build, that it just comes naturally to them, right? And I learned in this moment, Lizzie, you are not one of these building professionals. But what I want all of us to learn today through the word is that we actually are all builders. We may not be builders as a profession, but we are builders in God's kingdom. We are the stones that build the church that God has purposed and intended. And the beautiful thing, not the stressful thing, is that this building, the building that God has purposed, his church, it is always under construction. I feel like on every church, we could have signs on the outside that just says, under construction. Because we are never finished. We can always add more stones to this church that God is building. But one important part of building anything, and this is something I do know, is that you have to start well. You have to have a firm foundation, which means making sure that that first block, that first piece, it has to be placed well. It has to be solid. Secure. You want to make sure that that first stone is the right stone. It's the right starting block. So church, this morning, we're going to build. Are you ready to build with me? Amen. All right. Now let's take a look here. So we've got a different assortment of some weird building materials. I know if you're a professional builder, if you're one of those, you're like, Lizzie, though, we don't build with these things, right? These are my unprofessional building materials. Some of them, as we see, are better than others. But I want to first take a look at this stone right here. This one, I just pulled it out of my yard this morning. And if I look at this stone, and I'm wanting to build upon this, I know a couple of things about it. First of all, it's heavy. it's firm. It's not going to easily break. There's a weight to it. But also by looking at this, I know that this is not something that is going to last. For building something upon this is actually a terrible starting place. You want to know why? It's not even. It has things growing on it, probably in it. Like, I'm not sure what I brought into the church today, but it's not very smooth. There's ridges. It's probably going to start falling apart very, very soon. And so if I were to take this, place it as my cornerstone and try to build upon it, what's going to happen, it's kind of obvious, is eventually whatever structure's built on here is going to collapse. It will be lopsided. It will not last. Now, just imagine with me this morning that I actually have a smooth stone. Think of like a curling stone. Are any of you curlers? Oh, okay, fans of curling, that counts too. You can go sweeping, you know, doing all those things. The curling stone, it's massive. It's heavy. Those things are hard to carry around, but very, very smooth. Really without much blemish. But the thing about a curling stone that would make it terrible for building is that in that smoothness, it's also rounded edges. So things, if you were to build on top of it, eventually would slip off of that sloped edge, right? So even though it's smooth, even though it's solid, even though it's firm, it's not a great starting place for building. What about these building blocks? Yes, they're Yahtzee dice for the yard. But these, if I put them right here, solid, 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 hey! I think I could build off of these. But here's the thing about these. At first glance, this looks good. But what you may not be able to tell from where you are is that, again, these edges kind of go down. And even this, it's a little wobbly. So to the naked eye, we're thinking, hey, this is pretty good. But it's actually not the perfect, firm, solid foundation that we would want to build something that will last. What about sand? We're surrounded by sand. I went to Parksville this week with my family and saw the incredible sand sculptures. Can't really call those sand castles. Those are sculptures. We are told over and over again through the scripture in the songs that we were singing, don't build your house on the sand. Why? Because nothing is going to last on that. The cool thing and the beautiful thing about sand is that it feels nice. I can mold it, I can shape it into what I want it to be, but it will never last. In a couple of weeks, those sand sculptures, they're going to be knocked down. But even if the purpose wasn't to knock them down, just wear and tear the natural elements, those beautiful structures would disintegrate. It's interesting, all these different types of materials, but what we need in the church, what we need in our individual lives is the firm foundation that will never fail. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you that you are that firm foundation for us. Lord, I thank you that even as we were singing this morning, that you are the solid rock on which we stand. And today, Lord, as we look into your word, as we purpose to start this new season on you as our foundation, Lord, I pray that you would teach each one of us what we need to learn this morning. Lord, I thank you that your word is alive and that it speaks to us. So, Father, give us ears to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul is teaching the Corinthians about godly wisdom and God's plan for his church, for his followers, built upon the firm foundation of Jesus. He reminds the Corinthians that they are to work together to build God's church, to be co-laborers, to be unified. This was a church that at that time wasn't really getting it, so he's reminding them and remembering above all that it's Jesus. Jesus is their foundation. And 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, this is going to be our theme verse over the next several weeks. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn there, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, and I would encourage you, underline it, highlight it, circle it, commit it to memory. If it's on a device, a phone, highlight it. We're going to be here. We're going to base the next few teachings on this one verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. Paul says, "For no one can lay any foundation other than the one we already have, Jesus Christ. He is our firm foundation." And for us, church, as we move into this new season, as we navigate change, as we continue to build this church, I think one of the most important things that we can remember, that we must remember, is that no one can lay any foundation other than the one we already have, Jesus Christ. Church, we are a part of the Foursquare denomination. And in Foursquare, our core beliefs are all centered around Jesus. Why? Because he's our foundation. And over the next several weeks, we're going to be digging into each of these foundational blocks, ensuring that indeed we are building upon him. We believe that Jesus is our Savior, that because of his death and resurrection, we are free. We are forgiven. We are set free for eternity. He is our Savior. We believe that Jesus is our healer. Praise God that he still heals today. We believe that Jesus is our baptizer in the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit is a free gift given to us, that he gives us power to live and to minister, and that Jesus is our soon and coming King, that one day he's coming back in victory. And we get to build upon that foundation. Each of us have this beautiful opportunity. It is a calling to be a part of God's church. And it's a church that's living. It's not built with these materials, but each of us, living stones, build upon the foundation and the cornerstone of Jesus. So this morning, we're going to be focused in on 1 Peter chapter 2. So again, if you have your Bibles, you can turn there, 1 Peter chapter 2. Peter, as you will learn, is one of my favorites in the Bible. I love Peter. One of the things that I love about Peter is that oftentimes he got things wrong. He made a lot of mistakes. He messed up. And yet, God had a plan for him. He kept calling him. He kept giving him those opportunities to increase his faith. And in this chapter, Peter uses a lot of imagery of building, of stones, cornerstones, foundations. And I love it because at one point in Peter's walk with Jesus, this was a time when Peter got it right. Peter made this declaration of faith to Jesus. Jesus had asked him, "Peter, who do you say that I am?" You've heard lots of things. You've heard some talk, some rumblings in the shadows. But Peter, who do you say that I am? And Peter looked at him and he answered. He said, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And then Jesus answers him with this confirmation of who he has purposed him to be. And he says, "Now I say to you that you are Peter," which means rock, "and upon this rock I will build my church, and the powers of hell will not conquer it." Jesus is saying to him, upon this solid confession of faith that you have made, I will build my church. And so here in 1 Peter chapter 2, when Peter's writing to this group of people, he's writing as someone who has a very keen understanding and firm faith in the foundation being Jesus. Jesus as the cornerstone. So we're going to read a couple verses here in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 to 6. It says, "You are coming to Christ, who is the living cornerstone of God's temple. He was rejected by people, but he was chosen by God for great honor. And you are living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. What's more, you are his holy priests. Through the mediation of Jesus Christ, you offer spiritual sacrifices that please God. As the scriptures say, I am placing a cornerstone in Jerusalem, chosen for great honor, and anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Amen. The cornerstone that Peter is referencing here is Jesus. It's interesting to note that back in Bible times, a cornerstone was the most important stone in a building, right? If builders were going to build something that would last, they had to take great care in choosing that first stone, the right stone, the cornerstone, because everything else would be built off of that. That one stone would be the reference point. The position, the structure, the stability of the entire building would be based on that stone. And in our lives, what Peter is saying here is that we must be built upon Jesus as the cornerstone. That everything that we do, how we live, how we act, how we grow, Jesus is meant to be the reference point. Our lives lined up to him. Everything lined up to him. But in our day and age, and even in Peter's day, the temptation is to not build on Jesus, but on the things of this world. So this morning, I think we need to take some time to ask ourselves, what is the cornerstone of my life? What am I choosing to build upon? Because everything that I do, everything that I am, is formed from that cornerstone. You know, if we take stock of what's happening in our world today, if you're looking at social media or listening to politics or even seeing what's happening in our educational system, the day-to-day that ways that people of this world operate, we can see very clearly that many people choose cornerstones that are not Jesus. Some may choose science or human reasoning. Others might choose a very free spirituality, or perhaps the opposite, a very rigid religiosity. Perhaps they're building upon different philosophies. Perhaps it's things that even look good on the outside. Things like service to others. Good humanitarian causes. Man, our world loves a good cause. Social justice. Health and wellness. Perhaps there are others who are building straight up on things like success, materialism, wealth, power, pleasure. Have you stopped lately to consider what it is that you are using as a cornerstone in your life? If it's Jesus, hallelujah. That's what we want. But you know, sometimes people begin with the cornerstone of Jesus, but over time, and it's very subtle, Jesus kind of gets pushed off, you know, pushed aside, and we allow something else to creep in, into that corner. It's kind of like the moss that's growing on this rock, right? Sometimes the things that want to take over just kind of creep up on top and inside and take something that was solid and make it very slippery, very messy. What is it that we are building upon? What is the foundation? If we are building our lives upon something other than Jesus, it's time to do some demolition and then some rebuilding. To rebuild on Jesus, who never changes. He was and is the appointed, specially prepared stone that we can rely on because he never changes. Everything else in our world changes. Day to day, everything changes, but not Jesus. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and we can trust him. We can rely on him. But also in this passage in 1 Peter, we are told that Jesus is a living stone. He's personal. And because he's personal, we are able to enter into a relationship with this personal, loving, unchanging cornerstone. Because he lives, he is able to transform the lives of all of those who are built upon him, who trust him. All through Scripture, we're told that there is only one solid and secure cornerstone, and that is Jesus. See, God gave us Jesus, the proper stone, the perfect stone, the living stone to build our lives upon. And in this passage, Peter references Old Testament prophecy and promises about Jesus as our cornerstone. First in verse 6, and he's quoting from Isaiah 28, verse 16. This says, "Therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. Look, I am placing a foundation stone in Jerusalem, a firm and tested stone. It is a precious cornerstone that is safe to build on. Whoever believes need never be shaken." What a beautiful promise that if we believe, that if we set our lives up upon this cornerstone, this foundation, the foundation of Jesus, we will never need to be shaken. In the song that we sang this morning, there's a line that says, "When everything around me is shaken, I've never been more glad." And someone once said to us, "I don't like that song. I don't like the song Firm Foundation." And we're like, "Well, why?" They said, "Because when everything's shaking around me, I'm not glad. So I can't sing that song. It's a lie. I can't sing that with the authenticity that I want to seek worship to." And we looked at them and said, "Well, hang on a second. That's not the end of the sentence. It's not when everything around me is shaken, I've never been more glad, period." And here's the funny thing. In some churches on the slides, I was so glad that it didn't happen this morning. In some churches on the slides, when you read the lyrics to that song, that's all that it says on one slide. "When everything around me is shaken, I've never been more glad." End of the slide. I'm like, that's not the end of the sentence. But here, it kept going. "I've never been more glad for what? That I put my faith in Jesus." See, when everything around me is shaken, I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus, because he will never fail. He will never fail. That's the promise that we have from this scripture in Isaiah 28. We never need to be shaken. Here's the thing about this promise from God, and we need to know it. We need to truly know what our foundation is, what that cornerstone is, when everything around us is shaking. Because if you don't know what the foundation is, if you don't know what your life is built upon, then when your life gets all earthquakey, as it will, it can be very unsettling. If that foundation has some cracks because either you've pushed it aside or you've allowed some other stones to try to take that place, or perhaps you've allowed some of that moss to creep in, when the storm comes, and it will, when the shakes hit, you will not have the strength needed to stay standing. See, for Peter's audience, they had to know what their cornerstone was because they were under severe persecution. Peter wasn't writing to a group of followers of Jesus who just had everything good in their life, that everything was going great. He was writing to an audience that was undergoing intense persecution that was consistent. So he's encouraging them and saying, build your lives upon Jesus, upon this firm foundation who will never fail. See, choosing Jesus as our cornerstone doesn't mean that the shaky stuff won't happen. It will. Those shakes are going to come. But what we can trust is that we will not be overtaken by it if we are built on Christ. So Peter's writing these people as an encouragement that in the midst of the struggle, in the midst of the persecution, they can be sure that with Jesus as their cornerstone, with their lives built on him, they will not be disappointed in the end. So today, take stock of your own heart. What have you built your life upon? What's currently in that place as cornerstone? Did you notice that in these verses in 1 Peter, we aren't alone? It's not like you build your life upon the cornerstone and that's it. No, there's a community aspect to this building. In verse 4 and 5, Peter says, "You are coming to Christ as living stones." This means that we collectively are actively and continually coming to Jesus, and we are being built up into his temple, into his church. See, we are not the foundation. We are not the cornerstone. Hallelujah. Rather, we're the bricks. We are the building materials that together are being built on the cornerstone of Jesus. And the cool thing is that what we are building is far bigger than the stones right now represented in this room. It's bigger than this. We are not the whole building. Hallelujah, praise God. There's room for more. And there's no closed door or thought that we've got enough building materials here. That would be nonsense. See, we have work to do. We are not the only living stones. We are being built together with other living stones. We are called a holy priesthood that gets to serve together, that gets to bring others in. We get to work together. And see, I'm saying we get to. It's not a, oh, I have to. We get to. We get to work together, to build together, to serve together in unity, to bring others who will also choose to build their lives upon the foundation of Jesus. There is no such thing as a one-stone church. We need each other, and we need others. Being built together in God's church in unity with Jesus as our cornerstone is what God has planned and designed. No one can do this alone. Now, I want you to take a look at this, the last thing I haven't shown you yet. Just a bunch of Lego. I chose the big pieces of Lego so that you could see it. Now, you can buy Lego sets. I'm sure you have, either for your children or your grandchildren. You can buy Lego sets that come with a certain amount of pieces. It will tell you on the box. This box has 67 pieces. It comes with an instruction manual. It's like super organized. You can just turn the page, those step-by-step instructions, the blueprints of exactly where each piece goes. But see, the coolest thing about Lego is that because of its design, you can keep adding bricks, different bricks. You can take what once was small and you can increase and increase and increase until it's huge. And because the bottoms of Lego, I'm just going to show you something real quick. Just a few different pieces here. Look at these different shapes. I've got a bunch of them, right? They're all different shapes, they're all different colors, and yet because the bottoms all have the same fittings, we can just keep adding more and more and more. We can keep connecting and building something quite magnificent. This is like God's church, the foundation. The foundation has to be Jesus, but the bricks, that's us. And we are all different. Shapes, sizes, colors, giftings. We are all different, but we are all called to be a part, connected to His foundation. See, sometimes we come into the church that God wants us to continue to build upon, and we've got our own blueprint stuck in our pockets, right? We're like, this is the way that I want my church to be. I've got my blueprint manual. We're on page 3. I'm excited to go to page 4 and add this brick. In God's church, He is the one who holds the blueprints, and what He wants for us is to leave our blueprints checked at the door. Leave it there. Come in and say, God, what is it that you want to do? And how can I be a part of what you're building? In God's church, we need to throw away those personal blueprints. We need to allow God's design, which is perfect, His plan, to be the one that we build with and that we continue to build upon. And if we have Jesus as the cornerstone, it's like having all of our bottoms the same. Okay? I know. Stay with me. It's like having all of the bottoms the same that we can just add and connect and keep building and keep building until we have what God wants us to have. connected to the cornerstone. We just keep adding bricks, and we get to watch what God will do. So this morning, I want to give us some points to ponder, not only for today, but throughout the week. The first is, what cornerstone is your life built upon today? Is it built firmly on Jesus? Or have you perhaps allowed other things to take his place? And there's no judgment here, if you have. Because you can always come back to Jesus. You can do some demo in your own heart. You can do it right now. Just say, I don't want that anymore. I don't want that to be in that place where it's meant to be Jesus. We can kick the other garbage away. We can clear off that spot and build upon Jesus alone. So as a church and as individuals, let's take stock this week. What are we building upon? And then secondly, who are you bringing to the build? Because this is an ongoing building project. Remember, we're still under construction here. This keeps going. And there are stones out there that need to be brought in and connected to the cornerstone of Jesus. And the cool thing is, church, you get to be those connecting pieces. You get to be the ones who connect the new stones. I believe that in this next season, God is going to bring newness to Maranatha. But it is going to require us to intentionally step out and be those living stones that invite other stones in and make space. I believe in a future of Maranatha that will see young families, that will see teenagers, that will see youth, that will see single adults, that will see seniors, that will see just exponential growth. Why? Because we have opened the doors and we have said, Jesus, build your church as only you can. Will you choose to be part of that, to bring others in? This morning, I'm going to have the worship team come. And as they do, I want to encourage us to take a few moments in this next song that we're going to sing. And just on your own with the Lord, would you take some time to make room? Make room in your heart, make room in your mind for God to do what only He can do. Allow Him to shape and to mold you. Your thoughts, your ideals, perhaps it's a surrender of my blueprints. God, I want what you want. To make room for him to continue to build here. Perhaps there needs to be a shaking up of some rocky foundations and just a desire. God, would you do what only you can do? Would you build your church? Let's make room this morning for us to connect with him as the master builder, to connect with his plans and with his blueprints. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you that you build your church. Jesus, I thank you that you are the foundation that we can build upon. And Father, I thank you that you hold the blueprints in your very capable hands. So God, today we do come and we surrender to you. And Jesus, we just ask, would you build your church? Your kingdom come, Lord. Your will be done here. Father, help us to step out of the way and to allow you to move. Holy Spirit, we invite you. We invite you into this build. We invite you into our hearts and into our lives to do a good work. In Jesus' name, amen.